Go ahead and make your way into the sanctuary. This morning, we get to celebrate a new believer that is deciding to follow the Lord in water baptism. Now, just for a brief moment, if you're not familiar with water baptism, I'm just going to explain it to you very simply. Water baptism doesn't save you. There's nothing mystical going on when you are immersed into the water. Water baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. The salvation has already taken place. That's been settled. But as believers, we want to obey the Lord and follow His commands. And we recognize water baptism as one of those commands. So come forward, make a public declaration before everyone that you are going to follow the Lord for the rest of your life, that your faith is in Christ alone, that Jesus has made atonement for your sins, and you believe in that. And then symbolically, you go under the water as Christ was buried, and then you come back up symbolically, the new creation. Again, that has already taken place. It is the outward expression of the inward reality. Amen? And we get to celebrate this morning, all right? So if you would, yes, yes, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we have one baptism this morning. We have our brother Landon Nichols. Most people know him. He's going to be coming and baptizing his friend and brother in the faith, Andrew Wu.
Buddy Andrew Wu. Just before we get started, I want to give a little backstory. I have the privilege of becoming one of Andrew's close friends about 3 months ago now. And since then, every day he's been coming to church with me. And even when I'm not here, he's still at church. And he's been connecting with communities and organizations outside of church too, like real life, adults ministry, and things like that. And he'd always ask me, are you coming tonight, or can you come tonight? And even when I'm not coming, he's still there getting connected and making new friends. And since those 3 months have gone by, even when I'm gone at college, I'm still seeing posts on Instagram. He's making posts about the Lord and everything like that to a big community of people. And to see the way that he walks and talks and presents himself is just so, like, you can see the Lord working through him. And it's just such a privilege. And do you have anything to say, or no?
Praise God.
Yes, sir. All right, well, have you accepted the Lord as your, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior?
No.
With that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. What a joy it is to celebrate with Andrew. And if you would, let's celebrate our kids' ministry. We always include our kids at this time. Pastor Steve and all of our volunteers that help over there sowing into your children. Let's get ready to worship.
All right, y'all, if you're able to, let's go ahead and stand at your feet this morning and just get ready to praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that He did. Ready?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? I'm so grateful for him. Just so grateful to be in his house, in his presence. I love the Lord. And we're just, everything that I need is found in his presence. I just think about Sweet Andrew this morning. I love to watch people just come, you know, go from death to life, and just to see that awareness that who they used to be is completely gone. He is so good. He is our King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father God, we just look to you this morning. We lift the perfect name of Jesus in your house. God, please, Lord, be present in this place. Father God, would you do what only you can do? We honor you, King Jesus. We love you. You are worthy, so perfect and holy. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you today.
In the dust, we were weighed without hope, without love, till from heaven you came run. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Yes.
Resurrected faith.
God, we praise your name. We praise your name, King Jesus, forever. Oh God, how we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Church family, right before we leave this last song, do you sense the presence of the Lord here? And the pleasure of the Lord. Because where his presence is, his power is there. We're going to go into this last song, Great Are You, Lord. And I just wonder, I prayed with a sister today who's been praying, asking the Lord for a child. I just wonder if there's someone here, you're waiting on the promise. You're praying about something. You're standing. And see, we look for progression. And oftentimes, our prayer is not answered progressively. It's suddenly. And if you're believing this morning, I want you to be our choir down here at the front. Just come on record in heaven where God's looking down. Who's believing me this morning? Who's standing in the gap for something? Come quickly, all over this building. We're not going to ask you to grab a mic and sing, nothing like that. I just want the photograph to show that on this Sunday in August in 2025, you're singing Great Are You, Lord, believing he's going to be great in your life. For your situation. My mother tells me almost every time I see her, she said, Johnny, is there anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer? No. So as we go into this song, just worship. This is for the Lord. We believe you. I don't care what it looks like, acts like, feels like, what the consensus is, what our relatives say, and what those above us and those beneath us say. We believe that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let's offer the Lord this song.
Sure.
Church family, all across this room, the needs are varied, but the approach is the same. We've got a woman and a man praying. Her husband's blind, and she stands and says every Sunday. See, while she's singing, do you understand that when you're on a stage and you're, every song you sing about the greatness of God, you glance over to what you're praying about?
Yes.
Your heart reaches that way. We have people's womb, ladies' wombs that are barren and childless, and they're crying out. We have reports it's stage 4, it's stage 3. We hope we caught it in time. The needs are various, but the approach is the same. I believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me just encourage you with this before I pray and close this part of the service. We are creatures of processing. Naturally so, God wired us that way. We assess the information we have, we process, and we come to conclusions, okay? We believe in difficult, really difficult, and impossible. The reason God said that there's nothing impossible for me, he wants you to know there aren't levels of difficulty. Follow me. Because if there were levels of difficulty with God, then you could raise it to the point where he couldn't do nothing about it. One request is the same as the other request is the same as the other request. You're not waiting on his care, you're waiting on his timing. And understand that when there's delay and you can't make any sense out of it, he has information in perfect knowledge that you don't have. Why would I have to keep suffering? Why would I have to keep waiting? And you get to the end of all of that and you say, nevertheless, Lord, I trust you, but I want it to be on record in heaven that this ain't a matter of your glory and power. Because I believe you stepped down on nothing and made everything just at a spoken words. So your pastor practices this. That's why I wanted you to come stand. I'll say in my room downstairs or when I'm walking, I said, I want to be on record in heaven. I say that phrase. I want to be on record in heaven that I'm believing you to do this in my life because it brings you glory. And if I got somebody to stand with me, wonderful. But if I stand by myself, I have you, O Lord, and you are sufficient. I'm telling you verbally and vocally again, I believe. I'm not the Lord. You're going to have the sound of children's laughter and crying and fit pitching and all that because you believe. And he's a... Do you know the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth just to show himself strong on behalf of the one whose heart is perfect towards him? Faith catches the eye of God. It moves the heart of God and opens the hand of God. Do you believe it? So, Lord, we seal these songs from our heart with prayers from the same heart. We believe you. Jesus, you told us, have faith in God. So today, on record, we have faith in you. We're not going to tell you how to do it or when to do it, but we're asking you to do it for your glory, Lord. We submit to your timing. We submit to your sovereignty. But we're not backing down and we're not going to be quiet. And we're not going away. We're going to stand before you and cry out day and night. And we trust you. I believe, Lord, and I want to state on record, that the people standing in this altar and in this congregation who have prayed this today, they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Blessed be your great name. And someone in this house say amen this morning. Would you give the Lord praise? Yes, God. Hey, before you're seated, would you spread out? I know you just don't, you're not comfortable going past your row, but go at least 2 or 3 rows. Say hey to somebody and greet one another in the love of the Lord. I pray.
All right, all right. Don't make me treat you like my teenagers. Stop being nice. Let's sit down. I'm telling you, I think that if we gave you guys an hour, you would take it. Like, I think it's just how friendly we are as a church. I am excited that you are here this morning. I'm here to just give one announcement, and that is to our middle schoolers. If you have a middle schooler's parents and middle schoolers, listen up. We have middle school move up. If you're in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, today is your day. What we're going to do is we're going to leave directly from here, and parents can take them if they feel comfortable. But to Pinstripes, we're going to have pizza, bowling, and all that good stuff. But it's just a moment for our 6th, 7th, 8th graders that are moving up to just have some time together, build some community, and get to know some people, because I know with these 6th graders that are moving up, they need to know somebody. So this is a time for them to get to know somebody, all right? So you're invited, and we'd love to have you. Amen.
Hey, Johnny, come on up real quick. We got a praise report we want to share with y'all. All right, now you're like a lot of preachers, I know. You'll get to going and get wound up. But just give us the summary of the great news that you've got for us. Okay.
I had this lipoma on my leg, and it was about the size of a grapefruit, so we scheduled surgery for it. And I had kidney stones block my kidneys. Canceled the surgery for this. About a year later, I had the surgery scheduled again. Kidney stones again came in and blocked my kidneys. So twice I didn't have the surgery. I'm with the VA insurance, and they kind of drag their feet sometimes. It took them almost a year to refer me over to a surgeon. And they told me I either had to go to Atlanta or Augusta. And I'm like, okay. So I decided to go to Augusta because my wife can't drive through Atlanta. That wasn't going to happen. But when I first met the doctor after the surgeon, I just felt this peace. I felt the peace of the Holy Spirit that this was the guy that was going to take care of me. We had the surgery scheduled this past Thursday. We went up there. You know, we thought this was a benign lipoma. But he told us that he had got the tissue samples from 3 years ago and that there was some malignant cells in it. But the great news is it was all contained in this nice little sack. It looked like a big yellow football. He took it all out, and I'm up and walking and glad to be here this Sunday morning.
Thank you, Johnny. I know y'all wanted to hear from him because there's so many people that were praying and love him, and we just thank the Lord for that wonderful news.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Guys, good morning. My name is Kelly Wood, and on behalf of my husband, John, and the rest of our staff here at Christ Chapel, we want to say good morning and welcome, and especially want to welcome you if you're a first-time visitor with us today. I know that our greeting team has been at the entrance and has been praying and planning for your visit, but if we happen to miss you, would you please do me a huge favor? If you'd please stop by the greeting table in the back. We would just love to put a small gift in your hands, say hello, get to know you. If there's anything that we can answer question-wise about ministries in our church, we would very much love to just get to know you and tell you a little bit about what's going on ministry-wise. So I'm going to ask them to go ahead and play our announcement video, and then our ushers will come.
Good morning, Christ Chapel. Sundays are back in full swing here at the chapel. We've got Sunday school. We have our Sunday night services and prayer. So make sure you join us. Our Widow's Mite Luncheon is coming up on September 6th, and you can sign up for that on the app. The More Than Able Life Group kicks off on September 9th. If you'd like more information about that, just check with Blake and Zandy Joyce, or you can check out the CC Macon app. As always, please make sure you are sharing your sent stories with us of how you have shared the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. For more information, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, ChristChapelMacon.com, and the CC Macon app.
Body, as we continue to worship the Lord by giving our tithes and offerings, and then Pastor John will come and pray.
The song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain.
It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory.
Church family, would you join with me as we lift these, our gifts to the Lord, and bow your heads. This is another opportunity to be on record in heaven. Lord, this morning we bring to you not just our gratitude and not just our faith, but our gifts. We wouldn't want to come empty-handed to your house, oh Lord, for you have been so good and kind and gracious and meritorious towards us. And we want to offer our best to you. And it's in that heart and that policy in our homes that we bring you the first fruits of all that we have. You first, O Lord, before our spouses, our babies, our goals, our businesses, our dreams, our pleasures, you first. And we ask, O Lord, that you use these resources in the commerce of this world to bring great fame to Jesus Christ, by allowing us the opportunity to win the lost, disciple the found, mend the broken, and send the whole. We honor you today, King Jesus, Lord of the church, the bridegroom, the king. Bless this time together, Lord, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Church family, I had something prepared, typed out to preach and share, and I just, with your permission, I want to just be led by the Lord more than anything else. And could anybody just stand to be exhorted today and encouraged in the Lord? Is that okay? It's a very heavy message, a very needed message, and if the Lord tarries, I'll do that next week, but I just felt such a resonation. Have you ever been in church? Not resignation, resonation. You ever been in church and a song be sung, and it's like you take a tuning fork and you hit it and your whole soul vibrates in that song? In this morning's service, my soul just felt so alive with us understanding the capacity of God, and the power of God, and the breadth of God, and the faithfulness of God, and the desire of God to be active in our life, that maybe he just wants me to join what he was doing instead of asking him to join me in what I thought we were supposed to do. So will you pray for me? It's kind of scary. Imagine if it was you. No notes. You step out there, 3, 2, 1, and go. That's how I feel. So, Lord, all these years, you've been able to use an uneducated, unqualified boy to preach your word. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would anoint me, if this is your plan, that you would anoint me with an unction from heaven that would resonate in our heart all that you want to communicate. And Lord, it's not important that I preach the message. It's important that the Holy Spirit sends out the thoughts and ideas to the people that you have here today, that they might be edified thereby. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I guess the first thing is where I felt the first resonation in my heart is for those of you that are praying memorial prayers, long prayers, for babies that have wandered, for parents who are failing in age, for job situations that haven't changed. You pray and you pray and you pray and you clock in. You know, oftentimes we fall guilty to the idea that there's scales. And if we put enough prayers on this side, then it tips the scales of the impossibility. And so that's why, now hear me out, there's nothing wrong with prayer chains. But we want to get all the prayers out to the prayer chains so we can tip the scales. We feel like when the prayers outweigh the need, then God answers. No, the prayer chains are so that others could enter into the work of God, witness the power of God, and give more glory to God. If you have nobody praying with you, you stand before the ultimate authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and you are heard because of Him. That name opens every door in the court of heaven. That name is respected. It's preeminent. It's the key to every lock in your life. That name is recognized by God. And not only is there no other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, it's the only one that God the Father responds to. We don't pray in the name of the disciples and Stephen and James and John and Peter and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite. We don't pray in that name. We don't bow to those statues. We don't kiss those feet. We don't rub beads. We don't pray to Mary, the mother of God. We pray in the name of Jesus only. In absolute faith. I've given this illustration so many times. You know, those of y'all that have been with me for the long ride, we've took the long ride. You can finish my stories. But the new people need to know this. When you pray, it's as if you're standing before God the way you view yourself, flawed, insecure, insufficient, double-minded at times, guilty, all of those things mixed around. Now we pray and we're forgiven, but we see ourselves. And see, we're carnal, and by carnal I mean earthly minded, and we think our prayers are heard when we're better than when we're not. Now, we're not supposed to live like fools. We're not supposed to live in sin and compromise, but my prayers aren't heard on my better days more than they're heard on my weekdays. They're heard because in the court of heaven, it's kind of like this, the crowd of people. And of course, there's no, God can hear every prayer at the same time, and it's as if one person was talking. But imagine you go in your secret place and shut your door. Watch what it says. So your Father, which is in secret, right? The one that sees you in secret will reward you in the open. You come before Him, and Father, I come before You this morning in the name of Jesus. And imagine Jesus walking up and saying, hey, Father, this is John. I died for him. What do you need? It's not that I was good. It's not that I've preached for 30 years or 50 years. It's not that we've been good parents or good husbands or good spouses. He looks at the Son of God and says, for your glory, I will listen to this person. Now, are we children of God? Yes. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Today, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He comes, we're going to be like Him. For we'll see Him as He is. And everyone that has that hope in the coming of Christ purifies himself even as He is pure. But our confidence does not lie in our approach. Our confidence relies upon the name. Now, a sinful life, a life of debauchery that throws the name of Jesus on top of it, that's not coming to Him in the name. You see, in him. Christ in me. I'm in him. When I come and I use that name, it lets God know that we're operating in the currency of heaven. No monopoly money. I'm coming to you through Christ Chapel. I'm coming through you to the priest. I've made these concessions and give. I come to you in the name of Jesus, and he listens. Your prayers have been heard. Answered prayer brings glory to God. Waiting on the answers transforms you. We learn obedience through the things that we suffer. Listen to your pastor, please. Listen to old brother John. I look back at Lance and a couple others been with me forever since the beginning. And I used to be young Pastor John. Now I'm old Pastor John. Used to be black-headed, now I'm white-headed. But times, gravity and time have never lost a battle. Just thought I'd throw that out to you. What was I talking about? I do that every time I start cutting up. Oh, there you go. Thank you. And oh, by the way, the reason I ask y'all is I grew up in church, and I was amazed at the pastor when he lost his place. He would just keep talking like he didn't know he lost his place. Everybody in the place knew he lost his place. And then when he found it, he'd just be talking about anything. And just, oh yeah, and go right back on. I figured I wouldn't do that to you. Waiting on God, my opinion, is the whitest flame in the arsenal of God to change us. Because it defeats, it sets at naught, if you will, our ability to make things happen. And some of us are waiting still because we won't leave it alone. And God wants to decide and act on it and the timing. And we're going to help him like the two-year-old. I do it. But that waiting, it's not helpless. But it assaults the flesh, letting us know that God doesn't need one bit of help from us. Years ago, Brother Sego gave my little boy this beautiful plastic set. It was a tool. She was trying to help me. She goes, it was a tool. Dang. Okay, so it was like a, Jason, what was it? Workshop. Thank you. Well, it was a table, and it had a workbench. You can tell I'm a carpenter. It was a workbench, and it had all the little peg holes, and it had hooks, and we had Elisha's plastic screwdriver with you put the everything had batteries. I got, by the way, you owe me money, Brother Sego, for all them batteries I had to put in. And it, and he had a drill, and he had a hammer, and he had a saw, and I remember the Lord speaking to me and said, that's you. So what? I invited you several years ago to help me build a church. And just like if a man were to say, hey, buddy, let's go out back. I said a man, not me, because I couldn't build it. Let's go back outside and we're going to build a shed today. And Elisha gets his plastic tool belt and he gets his things and he goes outside. And while the man... I'll just use Brother Siegel. While he's cutting wood, Elisha's got his little plastic saw, and he's drilling and putting studs in, and he's doing all that. You know what he comes in and says at the end of the day? Mama, we built a shed. Okay. When we work beside God, and he allows us to work, you need to understand that you're nothing more than a little boy with plastic tools. He doesn't need your help, but he will let you take the journey with him and participate. Years ago, when we were praying for our precious girls, we didn't know we were getting girls, but we were praying for our babies. And they weren't in the sanctuary to know this. You know, we stood and told you that the Lord was very clear that you won't find your children, they'll find you, which meant subcontext. Y'all know what subcontext is, what it really means. John and Kelly, I don't need your help. Because he's promised children to a sterile man. So if it can't come the natural way, then me and Kelly need to get on the phone and let our need be known. Because if you increase the number of people that know, your odds increase. And he said, I don't need your help to bring your perfect family to be, to create it. I don't need your help. Now, Kelly, who had more at stake in that, she's the one that prayed the hundreds of hours for children. I didn't have that burden. And then after they were born, Kelly saw me just get consumed like you'd soaked me in gasoline, you know. And she said, greatest thing you never knew you wanted, wasn't it? I said, I know, right? So she's praying and praying and praying, and she told me when we talked it through, and I said, the Lord told me, baby, that we can't help. She said, rightfully so, and this isn't diminishing her. Her path was harder. She said, so we're just not going to do anything? I said, yeah, we're not going to do anything. So here she is with a sterile husband, and a preacher as a husband that says, and by the way, we can't help. And so I'm taking up the prayers for our babies. And I'm walking the floor and I hear her. Sorry. I hear her in the bedroom with a soft moan. Because let me tell you something. Kelly Wood knew the Lord long before she knew there was a John Wood in this world. She walks with the Lord. She knows his voice. She served him independent of anything I've ever done. So I start praying and I said, Lord, would you do this for her? Would you grant this? And I'm coming as the husband, you know, going to save the day kind of thing. I guess in the back of your mind, you know, I'm going to bombard heaven and let him know that I'm asking too now, you know. And I felt the Lord whisper to my heart. It wasn't audible. He said, you think I need you at all to talk me into taking care of my daughter? I'm just going to tip back out of here. Just, you know. So I was with my plastic tool belt. And he said, do you really think I need your help in this? You did your job to tell her. She had to submit, listen to this, to God's voice that she didn't hear. She didn't hear the Lord say, you won't find your children, they'll find you. She didn't hear that. She didn't have the luxury of the conviction in her heart that the Lord had spoken. She's got to follow him. Have you ever had to follow a dumb thing? A slow thing? Don't forget, I'm not just Pastor John. I'm John. And she worked all that out in her heart. And the phone rang. Baby, how long was it after we really stood on this platform and said, our children are going to find us? How long was it before we got the call? A year to 18 months? I asked her because every time I mention time, we get in the car and she goes, you were off 2 years. You were off. So, John, it wasn't even in that decade. You're not that old. I go, but the story was true. So I thought I'd ask. So 18 months go by. We get a call from someone who we might see out and about. They don't live in Macon. They live in Warner Robins area. Once a year, maybe. We've had dinner with them one time in our life. They were sweet people, good people. But they knew somebody that we'd never met who knew our girl's mother from a different state. And our name got dropped, just happened to get dropped. So see, while we're working on the plastic, we're working on the shed over here with the plastic tools, God's like, I'm not even using anything in your yard. I'm the God that oversees the world. The earth is my footstool. And he could have given us any children, but not the perfect ones for our family. So we meet the lady, have the talk with her. She says, so you really want this? She said, because I need to make sure my girls have a good home. And she said, and you won't change your mind? And we said, not on our life. This is probably the first time I've told this with my girls here. Their mama loved them. We got all the pictures, and we did the pregnancy, and they were born, and they were in the NICU for 2 weeks, and they were so little. They're so little. And I remember the first time I saw Olivia and Isabel, I walked in the hospital. You know, they make you bathe. Did you know that? Like full hazmat, you know, scrubbing. And first time I saw Kelly hold them, and I know you're going to think this is dramatic and overstated, but she changed. Her physical look changed. She was holding both of those babies, and I watched her go from Kelly the person to Kelly the mama. She changed. So I'm coming in, I'm scrubbed up, and I walked up to Olivia, and my hands just went up, and I just began to weep softly, but weep and just pray in tongues. I was just praying in the spirit. And then I would go into English, and I said, I just covenant with you to love you and protect you and provide for you and be your example. And then I go back into praying in tongues, and these people saw me crying. And the nurse came over to Kelly and said, is he okay? She goes, oh, yeah, you just leave him alone. He's fine. Yeah. And then I walked over to little Isabel, and she was even smaller than Olivia. And the nurse come up and said, she's okay. And both of them had hair like, like this. They just, and you'd never know that they'd be this beautiful. And yeah, you'd never known back then. And the lady said, that's baby B. And I said, no, that's Isabel. That one's Olivia, and that's Isabel. She said, don't worry about her. She's a fighter. That lady nailed it down, you know, right from the get-go. And then, you know, we brought them home. Now, my story's not any better than yours. It's the only one I have, but I want you to see how it plays out. So we stood on the stage and told you what we believed. That's the thing Christians don't do. For fear of looking like a fool, they don't look like people of faith. It may not happen the way we pray, but you need to be on record in your journal and in front of your friends. I'm believing the Lord for blank. How many of you were here the day we brought the girls out? Tore this place up. Now, I've already had the Lord, you're so good to me, you're so good to me, you're so good to me. In my heart was that, I told you God was mighty. That's what I felt on this stage. I told you that God can give babies to sterile men. I told you that this can happen. But the delay, when there's no news, when the news declines in the physical realm, or declines, all of us have lived that out. You've got to remember in the darkness what God told you in the light. And not try to gain momentum in prayer. We are in business, we have to create momentum. Those of you that are business owners, you have to market and hire and get out flyers and do buy one, get one free. You have to create momentum. In relationships, we create momentum through calls and text and emails and, you know, cards and flowers, you create momentum. In prayer, you don't create anything. You stand before the living God and you are faithful. You just stand. He's not in heaven going, well, that was John's 22nd prayer. We got about 33 more, and then he's going to go to level 2. We don't know all that's in the mind of God. We don't know all that's in the heart of God. We don't know all that's in the schedule of God. But I remember when the Lord asked me, and by the way, I watched her, and it was more than just her getting babies. Because, you know, some girls grow up playing wedding and white. Kelly played mama. And so when that answer came to her, it was the fulfillment of. And I'm going to tell you, bringing my girls home changed me, period. I didn't know I was a daddy. And, you know, guys will go to war for their boys, but they'll go to jail over their girls. You know what I'm saying? And for the Lord to provide that for me, and I felt one day, and I wasn't in prayer, but, you know, we're praying always. We're in communication with the Lord. And he said, so, you know how you asked me for the miracle and you and Kelly having babies? Would you like one or two through her? And you can give me back Isabel and Olivia. No, no, no. And I felt like the Lord in tenderness said, so I did you perfectly. I did not answer your prayer to have children. I answered the unspoken, perfect desire in your heart to have them. Don't think that your prayer alone is the standard of all that's coming. Now, this is going to short circuit you. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think, which means if you've thought it, that's not all there is to it. Think about that. All that you've articulated in your prayer, his plan is different and bigger than that. So, how much control do I have in this? None. I am just as flawed today as I was the day I started preaching to you. Sadly, with immaturities and insecurities and all of the other. But let me tell you one hurdle I've crossed over. And I've built a house on that. It's like, imagine a mountain and there's a spiral going up it, and we're going closer and closer to the Lord. I've built a little cabin, like a Brian Nichols cabin that he built in North Georgia. I built me a cabin a couple ridges up, and this is where it, what I call it. You pick, Lord. Because the best that I could have dreamt for our kids, his choice was greater. And when you come to a place in faith where you believe God's choice is greater than yours, listen, please listen to your pastor. Save you years of anguish. When you believe that his pick is perfect, you enter, you come out of the anguish of trying to get him to do something, and you enter into rest. You break the gravitational pull and the force of trying to take the arm of God and twist it to move the hand of God and pry open the fingers of God instead of, I believe, all the prayer is still there. But having said all that, you pick, O Lord. See, we're scared if we surrender and we let God pick. Of course, we're going to go to Africa or the Sudan, or we're going to be sent overseas to the bush, or he's going to say, sell all you have, give everything away, and live on I-16 at the exits. No, something like that. If I surrender, but the plans God has for you, they will have all of the above. You will have plenty, and you will see lack. You will see blessing, and you will see difficulty. You will see popularity, and you'll see opposition. You're going to live like everyone else in the world, but you get to live with the understanding that as for the Lord, his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to those that trust in him. He keeps his word to 1,000 generations. And you cultivate within you a tenacity. See, it's not the answered prayers, as beautiful as they are. It's the process in getting there that becomes rebar in your spine. When you've come through long seasons and dark seasons and seasons that were beyond your capacity, and when He does the impossible, your faith shifts from your prayer to the God who hears prayer. I don't have faith in my prayer. What do you mean? Pastor John, that's hard. No. In the grand scheme of things, I don't have confidence in my prayer. I do have confidence enough to pray, but I don't have confidence in my prayer. I have confidence that my prayer is prayed in the name of Jesus, and God hears it and swears to answer. I'm just a little boy with a tool belt. Now watch. In prayer, in preaching, in parenting, in husbanding, if that's a word, in being a friend, I'm just a little boy with a tool belt. I think often about heaven, often, and standing before the Lord. And I really think it's going to be something like this. You might think it's self-deprecating, but you don't know me. I really think it's something like me. And he said, John, you sure did a lot with so little. You wasn't that smart. You weren't that gifted. You know, there's going to be a yield. So you did all of that with just your edumacation that you had, you know. By the way, I graduated Central High School and went to Mercer and took my little entry test, and they said, you have a ninth grade education. I said, what meaneth this? I had two thoughts. First of all, I'm to blame because I didn't do the studying. But how you passed me through the 12th grade with a ninth grade education? I think the process of waiting and disappointment and disillusionment is like walking through waist-high, thick mud, and you live every day like that. You have the opportunity to display tenacity while you're trusting. Now watch. And when you come out on the other end of several things and you get in your 50s and 60s and 70s, you have authority to look that young mom in the eye at 28 and you say, look at me. Look at this withered woman. Look at this withered man. I'm telling you that the Lord will never lie to you. I'm telling you, you have the Holy Spirit and you can navigate these waters. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Stop fearing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And what you're going to find, darling, as the peace of God that passeth all understanding is going to fill your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I was once young and I believed. Now I'm old and I want to go on record. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen his seed begging bread. Now some of you are in danger today. You're in danger of believing up to the last moment and quitting before the answer comes. If you'd cue our music. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? And I'm not trying to be crass, but she had a perpetual menstrual cycle. And if you look for the spiritual meanings, we're not going to spiritualize the scriptures, but it's there. For her to be losing blood all the time, the Bible says life is in the blood. She was bleeding out, which left a physical anemic nature, anemic emotionally, anemic energy-wise. She was weaker and weaker and weaker. And listen, I just love this. And she said to herself, no preacher to tell her anything. No parent in the scriptures to step up and tell her. No husband mentioned. No best friend. While she was going out, weaker and weaker, she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of God's garment, or his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, what many of you know, some of you may not know, that in the Old Testament, when it talks about Jesus rising with healing in his wings, it was referring to the tapestry on his robe, that there were healing in the things that extended from him. And she said to herself, and I'm summarizing, he ain't got to touch me. I'm going to touch him. Sometimes God reaches out in his sovereignty and just, you remember when Jesus walked by the funeral and just stuck his hand up on the casket and sat the little boy up? He goes, you're welcome, mama. Walked off. This woman says, I heard that Jesus is in town and I'm going to meet him. So the crowds, imagine a concert that holds 10,000 people and there's 100,000 people there. That's what these narrow little streets were like in Capernaum and Jerusalem when Jesus come through. They, people were everywhere. And you try to squeeze in to get to him, you can't. There's no room because there were people there praying for their baby, for their mama, for their need, the blind, the deaf, the halt, the withered, the lame. They're all there crowding in to get to Jesus, the desperate. Your pastor's opinion is for a woman with no strength, she had to crawl. She's not pushing herself through big boys like me and Jay or Clay. She's not getting by us. We need something from the Lord. I believe she crawled the whole way there. And she reached out for that tassel. And some of you this morning are right here, and you're going to quit and walk away. If you quit before you touch God or God touches you, it's as if you never left your house to start with. You've come too far now. Dust that promise off the shelf and say, I know I stopped praying. I might have stopped believing, but God, I'm going to line back up because I just believe that you're too wise to make a mistake. You're too good to be unkind, and you are too powerful not to be sufficient for my need. So if she touched the hem of his garment, she either crawled there or got to him and fell there. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, who touched? Rabbi, people are bumping. Look, it's a constant, it's like cattle. It's not like we're standing here or sitting here organized. It's a constant flow, being bumped. He said, who touched you? Rabbi, everybody's touching you. He said, somebody touched me with faith. And I felt virtue go out of me. There's a secret in there for you. Now, Christ the man could feel depletion. She didn't even ask. She didn't even ask. We are to pray. We are to ask. We are to petition. We are to pray memorial prayers. And there are times where you just push through and you grab God. And sometimes, because he's so willing, virtue just flows into that desperate person. Desperate people catch the eye of God and move the heart of God and open the hand of God. Don't be ashamed to cry out. And I know you are, sis, but in your house, you shut your door. And sometimes it's sweet prayer and other times it's, I'm not going away. I'm not leaving till you answer me, Lord. I'm not leaving. And I'm not manipulating you. I'm not twisting your arm. You told me ask. You told me to not seek and knock. I'm doing all those things. What I'm trying to exhort you and tell you is there's no limitation on his supply. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He picks it up and turns it wherever he wants to. He does the miraculous, not for the miraculous sake. You remember when you played hide and seek with your kids and you get, there'd be long drapes in the den and you'd get behind the drape and your feet would stick out the bottom? Y'all remember? Sometimes in my life, I feel like the Lord is behind the drape and he'll go. And the drape will move just to see if I see him. He said, John, I'm right here. I'm on the other side of your inattentiveness. Ask of me. Ask of me. Ask of me. Stop telling me what you don't have and tell me who you do have. I have the ear of the Lord of all. I have the ear of God. Final thoughts. You've heard me say it for years. With no notes, that's what you get. You get a lot of reiterated things. In the court of heaven, he's not the final verdict. He's the only verdict. And there is no appellate court in heaven. When God speaks, that's what happens. And some of you are just one reach away or one decree away from the answer. And there's going to be glory when the baby comes, when the cancer's healed. There's going to be glory. And then immediately after the buzz dies down, you realize I'm the same me in the same world with the same God until the next thing comes up. All you have to do is walk with the Lord humbly and in faith. Because if you can believe, anything is possible. Anything. Would you just bow your heads with me this morning? Can we just sit in the presence of the Lord for just a minute? Can you summarize a sentence or two, like a declaration? I just want you to know, Lord, that I believe blank, that I think blank, that I feel blank. And I want to honor you with my faith. Not my mama's faith, not my daddy's faith, or my grandparents, with my faith. I want to know you for myself. And however it turns out, you are my God, and you shall be my God. I just hear this in my heart, like the Lord sitting beside you and take you by the hand. He said, I ain't never left you. Not a step away from you. And I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And the plans and intentions that I have for you will happen. Just bring your plastic tool belt and let's go in the yard and get to work. And see if I don't keep my promises to you. Would you stand with me this morning? Pastor Chris, would you come and take your time and pray over us this morning?
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that there's a Savior that can just speak to us when we need to hear? And that is what he's done today. I'm thankful for a pastor that follows the leading of the Holy Spirit and is able to put down the words and time that he prepared so that God can speak through him. Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. I'm going to close in prayer. So if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for you, for your Spirit, and the things that you do for us every single day. And Lord God, I stand on your word. You said, ask, you shall receive, Lord God. And today, we stand here, Lord God, many burdens, many things upon us, Lord God, knowing that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. We know that you, Lord, have the yes and amen, Lord. So right now, we lay these burdens ahead of you at your feet. And Lord God, we believe and trust you. We know that you, God, have our best interest at heart and that you love us. So, Lord God, we ask that you go with us, Lord God. Lead us, guide us, direct us, give us gifts, talent, and favor like never before. And let us, Lord God, believe every step we take, Lord God, is a step closer to you. And every thought that we have is something that lifts you up. Lord God, I ask that you bless this day, bless this time together. And Lord God, let us leave this house, Lord God, not just edified and better, but stronger in the faith with you, Lord God. We love you. We give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. And don't forget tonight, we have a prayer at 5, service that's our the Bible study at 6, and then we have open gym. We got something for everybody, so come on and we'll see you then.